And the name that we're going to be taking a look at today, it's probably one of the more well-known names. If you've been in church and you've heard different things for any period of time, you've probably heard of Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, literally is what it would be. But God is our provider. He provides. And today we're going to take a look at where this is really emphasized in Scripture, and I think we'll walk away with an understanding of this name that it just creates such a depth of love and dedication and understanding of our God. But as we begin, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been driving at nighttime down a road that you were not familiar with, and it was not in the city, so there's no street lights? The further you go, the darker it gets. You can only see as far as your headlights will take you. You can't even see around the next curve. When our kids play basketball, there are some schools that we play that are kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So we have to go towards a little south. But at nighttime, you're coming back, and it is just pitch dark. You're not 100% sure which direction is going to go next. You're just feeling your way along. You can't see past the next curve. You can't see what's over the next hill. Hopefully, there's not a cow standing in the middle of the road. But you certainly can't see your destination. That's just the way it is driving in situations like that. You slow down a little bit. But you keep driving because you trust that the road is going to continue even when you can't see it. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes life just feels like that. You can't see past this curtain of darkness in front of you. You're just trusting that the road will lead to where it's supposed to go. We all face moments of different circumstances where we wonder, how is this going to work out? We might ask, how am I going to provide for my family? What happens if my health gets worse? What if this relationship never gets better? What if the future doesn't pan out the way that I have planned it? Here's the thing. We want answers before we take another step, because that's how we are naturally as human beings. We want God to show us the whole journey before we're willing to take a step of faith, before we move forward. Here's the thing. God usually doesn't work that way. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you understand that. Instead of showing us everything ahead, what does He do? He calls us to trust His character, to trust Him, because He knows what He's doing. Well, that's exactly what Abraham had to do in Genesis chapter 22. God asked him to walk up this mountain without explaining how everything would end. And yet on that mountain, Abraham discovered some really interesting things. He discovered another name for God that has encouraged believers for thousands of years. Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will provide. More literally, it means the Lord sees. And that comes into play as we are going to take a look at this passage. Because God sees what we cannot, He is able to provide what we need exactly when we need it. Today we're going to discover that Jehovah Jireh is not simply a God who gives gifts. He is the God who sees every need before we do and faithfully provides according to His perfect purposes. So as we explore these verses in Genesis 22, the first 14 verses specifically, we're going to see four things about Jehovah Jireh that we can apply to our lives and even grow in our faith. So as we begin, we're going to take a look at the first 10 verses of Genesis chapter 22. And the first thing that we're going to see is this. The Lord tests our faith before He reveals His provision. Now, this is a general rule. We see this all through Scripture. Now, there are times when God just gives things and it's according to His purposes, and before you know it, the need is already there. But a lot of times, He tests our faith before He reveals His provision. And we see that playing out here. Let's take a look. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 10 says this. And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. Now, you got to wonder what's going on through Abraham's mind at this point. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me to take my son. And by the way, if you've heard anything from this series that we're going through, God promised that Abraham and Sarah would have a child of their own, even when they were well beyond childbearing years. And you know what? It happened, because nothing is impossible with the Lord. So they had Isaac. So this is the child of promise. This is the child that God had promised him, and that his seed would be able to spread over the whole area, that if he could count the stars, he could count his seed, his offspring. But it all rested with Isaac. So now God is telling him to do something that just, it doesn't make any sense. I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. So what did Abraham do? Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again. Excuse me. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Notice Abraham's response. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Now I want to pause here. We've gone through some of these names. The name that Abraham uses here is the name Elohim. He says, God will provide. Elohim will provide. Because he is looking at him as the eternal, self-existent creator, almighty creator. That is an important thing to note as we come back. So he's saying Elohim will provide. So they both went. They went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I apologize. All of a sudden, I'm having an allergy fit up here, but that's okay. We'll get by it. Verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Now, this chapter begins with an important statement that helps us understand everything that follows. After these things, God tested Abraham. It was not God tempting Abraham to sin, nor was it some kind of a cruel game. Scripture is clear that God does not tempt anyone with evil. Rather, this was a test designed to reveal and strengthen Abraham's faith. God already knew, but sometimes he has to bring us through situations where it is revealed to us, where we are able to see some things. After all of this, everyone would be able to read this account. They needed to see what genuine faith looked like. After waiting decades for Isaac, the son of promise, Abraham is now commanded to offer him as a burnt offering. Humanly speaking, again, the command makes absolutely zero sense. God had promised that his covenant would continue through Isaac, and now he's calling him to sacrifice him. What makes Abraham's response so remarkable is not that he understood God's plan, but he simply trusted God's character. The text records no argument. There was no, but God, what are you doing? You know, there was none of that, no recording of that. No hesitation, there was no delay. Early the next morning, Abraham rose and prepared everything and set out for the mountain that God had shown him. We do know that in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that Abraham believed that if Isaac died, that God was able to raise him from the dead because God's promises would not fail. As a matter of fact, let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says this: By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it was said, Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, how do we understand that that's what was going through Abraham's mind? First of all, this is Scripture. So this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's absolutely true. But remember when I said what Abraham's response was to Isaac? Where's the lamb? Elohim will provide. He used the name of God, the Creator, the one who brought everything into existence from nothing, who created life itself. Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead if he offered him as a sacrifice. Abraham did not know how God would keep his word, but he knew that God would. Before Abraham ever saw what we will see in a few moments, the ram in the thicket of bushes, before he heard the angel call from heaven, he simply obeyed. The test came before the provision, because God was testing or teaching Abraham that faith is trusting the one who gives the promise, even when you cannot see how the promise is going to be fulfilled. Here's the thing. If we're honest, most of us want the provision before the test, right? It's like when you're in school and you're getting ready to take a test, You always wish, I wish I had the answers to this test before I took this test. That way it would be a whole lot easier, right? That's how we treat God's provision sometimes. Sometimes it actually happens that way, as I mentioned before. Sometimes it does not. As a matter of fact, a lot of times it does not. We want God to show us exactly how everything is going to work out before we're willing to take that first step of obedience. We want Him to provide the job before we trust Him with generosity. We want Him to fix the relationship before we choose to forgive. We want Him to remove the uncertainty before we obey His word. But that isn't usually how God works. He often calls us to obey while we still have many unanswered questions. As a matter of fact, some of those questions will never be answered this side of eternity. Faith is not believing because everything makes sense, because sometimes it doesn't. Faith is obeying because we know the one who has spoken. You may be walking through a season right now where it seems like God is silent and His plan just seems unclear. But here's the thing, do not mistake silence for absence. The same God who tested Abraham is the God who has walked with us every step up the mountain. When God tests your faith, He's not trying to make you fail. He's not trying to do that at all. He's trying to teach you to trust Him more deeply. And the more deeply that you trust Him, the more you're going to trust Him. The more you're going to trust Him. Sometimes Jehovah Jireh tests our faith before He reveals His provision. But as we move along in the text, we see this. Number two, the Lord sees the need before we ever do. Because that's who God is. He sees the need before we ever do. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Just as Abraham stretches out his hand to take his son's life and offer him as a burnt offering, because that's what God told him to do, the angel of the Lord calls from heaven, stopping him at the very last moment. Then we read one of the most beautiful statements in this chapter. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. How is that beautiful? The ram did not suddenly appear out of thin air. God had already prepared it. Abraham simply didn't see it until God directed his attention to it. And this is where the name Jehovah Jireh begins to unfold. Again, the Hebrew word translated for provide. It comes from this verb that literally means to see. And the idea is that because God sees beforehand, He is able to provide beforehand. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing catches Him off guard. Long before Abraham knew exactly what he would need, God had already made a provision for it. This truth reveals something wonderful about God's character. Again, that helps us trust Him more. We often live one day at a time because that's all we can see. Again, the road that is dark and you can't see past that curtain of darkness beyond your headlights. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, what challenges are going to come our way, or what needs are going to arise. But God is not limited by time or perspective. He sees the beginning from the end. He knows every circumstance before it even happens. Every burden, He already knows it and already sees it before it occurs. Every prayer, He already knows it before we even speak it. His provision is never an emergency response because God doesn't have emergencies. What appears to us as just in time has always been part of His perfect plan. Jehovah Jireh is the God who sees every need long before His people ever recognize that the need is there. One of the greatest sources of anxiety is that we only know what is directly in front of us. We oftentimes worry about tomorrow because we can't see tomorrow. We wonder how the bills are going to be paid. We wonder how our children are going to turn out. We wonder how our health is going to hold up. What the future holds for family and church. But the truth is that God is never surprised by what surprises us. Before the diagnosis came, He already knew. Before the layoffs happened, He already knew. Before the relationship became strained, He already knew all about it. Before that burden ever entered your life, God already saw it. But that doesn't mean that He promises to remove every difficulty. It does mean that nothing enters your life apart from His knowledge and His sovereign care in your life. When fear begins to overwhelm you, remind yourself that you're not trusting in your ability to see the future. You're trusting in the One who knows the future perfectly. Jehovah Jireh has never been caught off guard, and He never will be. Many of us, I'm sure, have gone on vacation. Maybe you've had children in tow. Maybe you've seen families as they're packing with their children. You ever watched a family as they're getting ready to leave? Perhaps, again, you've experienced this yourself, but a five-year-old is watching his mom pack a suitcase. He doesn't understand why she's putting sunscreen in the suitcase. That doesn't make sense. Mom, it's cloudy outside. Why are you putting that in there? He doesn't understand why she's packing a rain jacket. Mom, it's not raining. Why are you putting that in there? He wonders why in the world she's packing medicine. I mean, everybody feels fine. Nobody's sick. Why are you putting medicine in the suitcase? When a week later they're sitting on the beach under a blazing sun, a thunderstorm rolls through. And later that evening, the boy wakes up with a fever. Everything that he needed had already been packed even before he knew he needed it. That's a tiny picture of Jehovah Jireh. God doesn't wait until we have a need before He begins to work. He's already been working behind the scenes long before we even knew it. Long before we recognize what's coming, He already made provision according to His perfect wisdom. We see today, but God sees tomorrow. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, sees the need before we ever do. But also, as we continue in this passage, we see in verses 13 and 14, number 3, the Lord's provision aligns with His redemptive purposes. The Lord's provision aligns with His redemptive purposes. Let's read verses 13 and 14. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now you will notice in that verse the word Lord is in all capital letters. Before he said Elohim will provide, and he did. The God who created everything, thinking, if I have to take my son's life, God will bring him back from the dead because he made a promise. And God is able to do that because he is Elohim, God, the Almighty Creator. But here he uses God's covenant name, his personal name. Yahweh will provide. Jehovah will provide. And on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God's provision is, it was much greater than simply rescuing Abraham from a difficult situation. The ram that took Isaac's place preserved God's covenant promises that he had made to Abraham and revealed an important pattern that runs throughout the rest of Scripture. Abraham offered the ram instead of his son. Those words introduce one of the Bible's clearest pictures of what we call substitution. God called for Isaac to be sacrificed, but at the last minute stopped him, and God provided a ram to take his place. God did not simply remove the sacrifice, he supplied an acceptable sacrifice. An acceptable substitute. That was not merely an act of kindness toward Abraham. It was part of God's unfolding plan of redemption. And afterwards, Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah will provide. Why? Because God sees. He did not name it after the ram or after what the mountain was already called, Mount Moriah. Or after even his own obedience. It wasn't, this is Abraham's faith mountain. The focus remained entirely on God. Then Moses, as he is writing this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he adds the statement, as it is to this day. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. That final phrase points beyond Abraham's experience. And it reminds us of God's work of providing. It was not finished on Mount Moriah. This mountain became a testimony that God would continue providing according to His covenant purposes until His ultimate plan of redemption was accomplished. Every sacrifice that would follow when they received the law and they offered these animal sacrifices, it was a temporary covering, and it all pointed to the ultimate sacrifice. Sometimes we become discouraged because God's provision doesn't look like the answer that we were hoping for. We ask Him to remove the trial, but instead He gives us strength to endure it. We ask Him to change the circumstances, but instead He changes our hearts. We ask Him for immediate relief, but God is accomplishing something much greater than our immediate comfort. His highest priority is not making life easy and comfortable for us. We like ease. We like comfort. I like my chair. My back is screaming right now because sometimes my chair don't like me, but that's a different story. We like ease and comfort. But that's not God's highest priority in our lives. His highest priority is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ and accomplishing His redemptive purposes in us and through us as He reaches out to the world through us. The means that we should, that means we should not measure God's faithfulness by whether life goes according to our plans. We measure His faithfulness by whether He continues accomplishing His purposes, and He always does. Sometimes the greatest evidence of God's provision is not that He changes our circumstances, but that He sustains us in the middle of them. Looking back, many of us can testify that God didn't always give us what we wanted, when we wanted it, as a matter of fact. But He always gave us what we truly needed to accomplish His will, to accomplish His purposes. Jehovah Jireh's provision, the Lord's provision, aligns with His redemptive purposes. And this last one flows right from that. Number four, take a look again at verse 14. But the Lord's greatest provision is Jesus Christ. His greatest provision is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14 again. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Genesis 22 does not simply tell the story of Abraham and Isaac. It actually points forward to Jesus Christ. The similarities are too many to ignore. Abraham was willing to offer his beloved son. Centuries later, God the Father would give His beloved son. Isaac carried the wood up the mountain for the sacrifice. Jesus carried His own cross towards Calvary. Isaac was laid upon the altar in obedience to his father. Jesus willingly laid down His life in obedience to the Father. But even though there's a lot of interesting similarities, and it does point toward the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, there is one significant difference. At the last moment, Isaac was spared because God provided a ram to die in his place. When Jesus went to the cross, there was no substitute for Him. Why? Because He was the substitute. He was the one who took our place, died in our place, suffered our eternal punishment for us on the cross. And John the Baptist recognized this when he saw Jesus. This is what he declared in John chapter 1 and verse 29. John is baptizing. The next day, verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is the ultimate fulfillment of Jehovah Jireh. God certainly provides for the daily needs of His people, and He still does. But His greatest provision, it was never food. It was never money or health or protection. Our greatest need is forgiveness. Imagine, if you will, there's a family sitting around a table at a restaurant. And they've enjoyed this wonderful meal. And then the bill comes and the man reaches into his wallet and opens it up and realizes there's nothing there. They don't have enough money to pay for what they owe. So his mind starts scrambling. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? But just then, someone from another table walks over and lays down a credit card. He says, "I'll pay for it." The meal wasn't free. You still had to pay for it. Someone else paid the cost. And that's exactly what happened on Mount Moriah. Isaac didn't stop needing to be sacrificed, but instead a substitute paid. That's exactly what happened at Calvary. At about the same spot, a couple thousand years later. Our sin wasn't ignored, it was paid for. Jesus became the substitute that we could never provide for ourselves. We needed a sacrifice who could truly remove sin and make us right with God. what no human being could ever provide, God Himself provided. And He did so through His own Son. On the mountain, Abraham declared, "The Lord will provide. Jehovah will provide." At Calvary, God fulfilled that declaration once and for all time. Every other provision we receive in life, it is temporary. And God meets those needs, thankfully. However, Jesus Christ is God's eternal provision for every person who trusts Him. Through Christ, God has provided everything necessary for salvation, for our reconciliation to the Father, because we are separated because of our sin. And only Jesus can bring us together. He is our eternal hope. Every one of us, all of us, without exception, we all have needs. We need strength. We need wisdom. We need daily bread. We need comfort in suffering. Those are all real needs, and our Heavenly Father delights in meeting those needs for His children. But before any of those needs existed, there was a greater one. We were separated from God because of our sin. No amount of good works could ever remove our guilt. No amount of religion could make us right with God. We needed a Savior because we couldn't save ourselves. And that's exactly what Jehovah Jireh provided. The cross is the greatest proof that God has provided what is necessary to accomplish our salvation. As Will read at the very beginning of the service, Romans 8:32, it says this: "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" If God has already given us the greatest gift, then we can trust Him with every lesser need that we face. So when you begin to doubt His goodness, don't start with your circumstances. Start with the cross. The cross forever declares, Jehovah Jireh sees our deepest need and has already provided the only sacrifice that could save us. Whatever tomorrow may bring, you can face it with confidence, because the God who did not withhold His own Son will never stop being faithful to His people. When Abraham and Isaac walked down from Mount Moriah together, Abraham knew something he hadn't fully understood when he climbed it. He learned that God's commands can be trusted even when they're difficult. That God's timing can be trusted even when it feels late. And God's provision can be trusted even when we cannot yet see it. In Genesis 22, it doesn't end on the mountain. It points us to another one. Centuries later, another father would offer his beloved son. This time there will be no voice from heaven stopping the sacrifice. There will be no ram caught in a thicket, because Jesus was the Lamb of God. The one that had been provided before the foundation of the world, because God already saw what we needed. At the cross, Jehovah Jireh fulfilled the promise that Abraham proclaimed, "The Lord will provide." And if God has already provided His Son to meet our greatest need, then we can trust Him with every lesser need that we face every day. That doesn't mean life's always going to unfold exactly how we expect, because most of the time, I got to tell you, it does not. It doesn't mean that every prayer is going to be answered in a way that we would choose. But it does mean that the God who sees the end from the beginning, He's never late, He's never surprised, and He's never unfaithful. Whatever mountain you may be climbing up today, don't fix your eyes on everything you cannot see. Fix your eyes on Jehovah Jireh. The God who provided on Mount Moriah is the God, the same God who still sees, still provides, and still keeps every one of His promises. So let me ask you this. Are you trusting Him like you should?